Welcome to St. James Bible Bites. This podcast was recorded at our online reflective prayer, which takes place each Monday and Wednesday at 9:15. The full recording can be found on our Facebook page. Our reflection is from the Reverend Fabian verse entitled Speak Truth in Love.
So we're going to continue in our book of Judges, chapter 9. It's quite a long reading, so I've asked Joycey to do the first three paragraphs and then we'll end the story. And between, there's lots of kind of wars, or the explanation of the kind of wars Abimelech does against others. But at the end, we see the end of his rule and of his life. It's a bit gruesome again. Take a back seat, I would say. And this is also the reality of our world when I believe people turn away from God and evil grows into a community and into a country.
Abimelech ruled over Israel for 3 years, but God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the Lord of Sichem, and the lords of Sichem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. This happened so that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might be avenged and their blood be laid on their brother Abimelech, who killed them, and on the lords of Sichem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. So out of hostility to him, the lords of Sichem set ambushes on the mountaintops. They robbed who passed by them along that way, and it was reported to Abimelech. When Gaal, son of Ebed, moved into Sichem with his kinsfolk, the lord of Sichem put confidence in him. They went out into the field and gathered the grapes from their vineyards, trod them and celebrated. Then they went into the temple of their god, ate and drank, and ridiculed Abimelech. Gaal, son of Ebed, said, "Who is Abimelech, and who are we of Sichem that we should serve him? Did not the son of Jerubbaal, the Anzebal, his officer, serve the men of Hamor, father of Sichem? Why then should we serve him? If only this people were under my command, then I would remove Abimelech. I would say to him, 'Increase your army and come out.'" When Zebal, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. He sent messengers to Abimelech at Arumah, saying, "Look, Gaal, son of Ebed, and his kinsfolks have come to Sichem, and they are stirring up the city against you. Now, therefore, go by night, you and the troops that are with you, and lie in wait in the fields. Then early in the morning, as soon as the sun rises, get up and rush on the city. And when he and the troops that are with you come out against you, you may deal with them as best as you can." Then Abimelech to Thebez and encamped against Thebez and took it. And there was a strong tower within the city, and all the men and women and all the lords of the city fled to it and shut themselves in. And they went to the roof of the tower. Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it, and came near to the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head and crushed his skull. Immediately he called to the young man who carried his armor and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, so people will not say about me, 'A woman killed him.' So the young man thrust him through and he died. When the Israelites saw that Abimelech was dead, they all went home. Thus God repaid Abimelech for the crime he committed against his fathers in killing his 70 brothers. And God also made all the wickedness of the people of Sichem fall back on their heads. And on them came the curse of Jotham, son of Jerubbaal. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And then we'll have a reading from the New Testament, which is Luke 16, 1 to 18.
The parable of the shrewd manager. Jesus told his disciples, there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him and asked him, what is this I hear about you? Give me an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer. The manager said to himself, what shall I do now? My manager is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do, so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. So he called in each one of his master's debtors. He asked the first, how much do you owe my master? 3,000 pieces of olive oil, he replied. The manager told him, take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 1,500. Then he asked the second, and how much do you owe? 30 tons of wheat, he replied. He told him, take your bill and make it 24. The master commanded the dishonest manager, because the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. I tell you, use worldly ways to gain friends for yourself, so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Whoever can be trusted with very little can be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. So if you are not trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, you are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of others, but God knows your hearts. What people value highly is detestable in God's sight. The law and the prophets were proclaimed until John. Since that time, the good news of the kingdom of God is being preached, and everyone is forcing their way into it. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the least stroke of a pen to drop out of the law. Anyone who divorces his wife and marries another woman commits adultery, and the man who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Thank you very much for those two reading. So yes, if someone spoke to you in those readings, do share a little bit. I had to smile when we did the first reading with Abimelech approaching a tower and being crushed on the head, because for those who come to St. James this week, we have a big tower. And at the moment, there are two people dangling from that tower because they are inspecting the tower and checking and repairing what needs to be repaired. And so there is a big part that's cordoned off because, of course, little bits can fall from the tower. So I kind of feel very close to that story. Coming close to a tower can be at your own risk, certainly when you are in a war. Might not have been the best and the wisest decision he made, certainly. That was the end. But in that story, it shows the mess that happens when people or nations or communities or leaders turn away from God, and but more than that, embrace evil and violence, and how violence we know often calls to more violence. And the end of the story was the end of that leader. And in a way that brought a new chapter of greater peace. So let's pray. Let's pray that those who do bring evil because of their actions, God is still merciful and wants all of us to turn away from our evil until before it's too late. Let's continue to pray that they might come to their mind. Because life is precious, even the life of one that is in rebellion. And we see that in the New Testament, even a person like Paul, who was first Saul, who persecuted the church, who was maybe not a direct murderer, but certainly an indirect one, he was encouraging the church to be persecuted. And yet he was turned around by God and became a great missionary, and of course, one of the key apostles. And we have lots of readings from him in the New Testament. It's similar, the missionary that we are celebrating here, Sundar Singh, a young man who questioned life and questioned what was, and God revealed himself to him, and he became a great blessing to his country and to communities at that time. The other reading, it feels a bit strange because it looks like a bit confusing for me. Sometimes you think like, well, we shouldn't love the world, but Jesus says, you know, be shrewd. Look, people of the world are shrewd. People who maybe don't care much about God, they're sometimes shrewder than people who know God. And I think this text needs to look a bit more closer what Jesus is. He's talking to the religious leaders who were lovers of money and who thought they were better than anyone else. And in his mercy, Jesus tries to show their blindness, basically, and describe who the kind of people they are. And that's why at the very end, in all this talk about money and faithfulness, he speaks about divorce, and you think, well, why just a sentence about divorce? Again, because for Pharisees and Sadducees, religious leaders, they could easily divorce their wife for petty reason, and they thought they were righteous. And so Jesus puts the finger on those realities in their own lives to show that they know better than anyone else, and they're also in need of mercy. And unless we see that, we can't hear the good news. We can't be in a place where we understand who Jesus is and what he has done for us. We need to understand and be aware of our need for mercy in whatever stage of life we are. And I'm always taken aback by the hard words that Jesus used. Sometimes we want to say, well, we need to be kind and we need to be sensitive. But sometimes when we're that blind, God is also quite very blunt so that our eyes can be open. And those who often struggles with addictions, sometimes it's the harsh words that can wake someone up. And turn that person around. So how for us, you know, what are the areas, even as Christian, we need to continue to receive mercy and grow, but also as we speak to others, how do we learn to speak truth in love, but sometimes to say different difficult things, but for the sake of the others, not for our own sake, that they might come to realize their need for Jesus and that Jesus is more than ready to come and heal and forgive and transform.
That's a hard thing to actually be honest with someone and say that, but then they have got to acknowledge that themselves, haven't they? So yours, that what you've done could be the first step that just gives them something to think of.
That's correct, yeah, that's very true. And it's not easy because it's taking a risk. Certainly if it's a good relationship we have, it's taking a risk, but the person will see if the person is open, that it's actually an act of care and love to say something sometimes that's challenging.
Like in the New Testament with the, if you're not sort of honest with your giving, then if you sort of want to keep more for yourself, what you've got will be taken away.
That's true, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think I like the saying of Jesus about being faithful. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much. And it's the very little things that matters. We can concentrate on the little things and not worry about the big things, because if we do them well in time, God will might give us more, or so it's all those little decisions we make that God sees and God honors.
For more Bible Bite podcasts, simply visit our website www.stjamestaunton.co.uk and click on resources. Thank you for listening, and may God be with you today.